It is the 18th of August, 1982, and I am Dorothy Schlesinger with Mrs. Lewis Seisler, Helen Lubo Seisler. And Helen is going to tell about her life and growing up in the Jewish Children's Home. Okay, Helen, you're on.
I came to the home as a very young child with a sister and brother. My sister was just a baby in a buggy. I can't remember much about the early years, but I know that we had a very wonderful life at the home. We had every advantage that anybody could ever have. We were well taken care of, medically, physically. We went to the finest school in the city, Newman School. And medically, we had checkups every year. We went to a dentist once a year. And I feel that I was very, very fortunate in being raised in the Jewish Children's Home, much more fortunate than being raised otherwise.
Helen, you told me a little earlier that you were born in Birmingham in 1911, and you came to the home at a very young age, but you don't really remember exactly when. Tell me a little more about living in the home.
Well, besides all the advantages, there were a lot of Jewish wealthy women that were very, very nice to us. They were called big sisters, and my family and Ida Vaxler's family, and there were one other family I can't remember that was under Mrs. Arthur Wheel. She was wonderful to me for many, many years while I was in the home, and even when I got married, her husband gave me away, Dr. Wheel, and we always kept in close contact. Everything important in my life that I ever had, Aunt Edie, as I called her, was always there. Before I had Aunt Edie, I had Mrs. Albert Walkenheim. Then I had a lady by the name of Mrs. Levy. They were all wonderful people. They had us at their lovely, lovely homes for dinner, and we learned, coming in contact with these wonderful people, to appreciate the finer things as their home had in it. And I never can ever forget any of them, especially Aunt Edie, because we were together for so many, many years that I will never in my life forget her. We all had other advantages. We went to Newman. We came in contact with our classmates who were the finest people in the city of New Orleans. We were invited to their homes, to their parties. And all of this enlightened our years. I mean, taught us to appreciate the finer things in life. And also, whenever there were concert tickets, we were given them. We always went to concerts at night. People that didn't use them would donate them to the home, and we would use them.
The home, as I remember, it was a very large brick building. Wasn't it rather foreboding or not? Or was it a warm place?
It was a very warm place. In the first building, it was all connected, but the first building was like the living room and the synagogue and the offices. Then in the middle of the building was a big courtyard where we played and had gardens, whatever we wanted. Then on each side of the courtyard, connecting the front building to the back building, were long buildings. Those were the dormitories. And in the main floor was a play basement.
Oh.
Then the second floor was a dormitory and the third floor was a dormitory. Then connecting the back building to these two corridors, whatever you call them, two long buildings, connected the back building, which was the dining room and kitchen.
Oh.
then in the back of that was a big playground where we played baseball or basketball. And the boys always had a game, but the girls did too. We had all kind of athletic games.
Were these organized, or did the kids just get them up?
Well, I remember being on a baseball team, and I remember Dr. Vollmer, who was head of the home at that time. That was many, many years ago, the beginning of when I was there. And I remember him coming out to watch, so it must have been organized. Mm-hmm. I remember, changing the subject, we also had plays where we were taught to dance and perform. We had a stage on the third floor where a big auditorium where we would have picture shows and plays and all kind of performances.
Yes.
And what else did you
Well, you had
know?
A very well-rounded experience. It wasn't like the usual concept of a so-called orphanage. It was a warm, loving, caring place.
That's right. And the people in charge were always very, very nice to us. They had young girls that used to come. When I say young girls, I imagine 17, 18, that used to come do volunteer work, take care of us. And then, of course, all the supervisors were very, very nice. And then in later years, Mr. Harry Ginsburg, we used to call him Uncle Harry. First, Mr. Lashman, Mr. and Mrs. Lashman were there. Then when Mr. Lashman passed away, Mr. Harry Ginsburg, we used to call him Uncle Harry, was in charge. Mm-hmm. But everybody was just wonderful to us.
And there was a kindness and love
that was
just marvelous, I have been told.
That's right.
Now, I know you decided to become a nurse, and how did you happen to pick that profession?
I don't know. I always wanted to help people, I guess because I was helped so much. And I thought, oh, it would be nice if I could go into training, and they did accept me. And I went in when I was 18 years old. And, of course, you were in training for 3 years, and then you went into private practice. Well, of course, at that time, nurses were plentiful. This was 50 years ago or more. It is more. And it was hard to find jobs, but you did. You kept pretty busy. But in the beginning of being accepted into Touro, you had to go through a probation period. You went to school, and you worked on the floor a certain number of hours. And at the end of a certain time, I don't remember whether it was 2 months, 3 months, you were either accepted or you weren't. Well, I was lucky, and I was accepted, and I had 3 wonderful years at Touro.
You lived in...
Oh, yes, you lived. You see, they had a nursing school. I think Touro probably is the only hospital in New Orleans today that still has a nursing school. And so you lived there, you went to school there. Today, I know they have to go to college. They go out to school.
Yes.
But this was our home for 3 years. And today, of course, nurses are much more knowledgeable than they were then. We just had 3 years of schooling, say, in the mornings, and then went to work in the afternoon.
We were talking about Touro and your training there and all, and you were in contact with many of the greats of New Orleans medicine, and some of them, of course, are nationally and internationally known. Would you like to speak about some of those famous medical men?
Well, I think the top-notch, or maybe they were all top-notch, but I think that many of us remember Dr. Rudolph Mattis, or some people call him Mattez. He was famous for aneurysms. He was the first doctor that ever performed an aneurysm. And I remember scrubbing, which means that you helped him operate on an aneurysm and how many hours it took. But he was a wonderful, wonderful doctor, like all of these doctors that I'm going to mention. The two Dr. Millers, Jeff and Hilliard, they were obstetricians of the finest. Dr. Levine, a stomach doctor who invented the Levine stomach tube. Dr. Isidore Cohn, who was a wonderful surgeon and who took care of us as children in the home. Dr. Isaac Lemon, he was an internist, and it's funny that my son married one of his relatives many years later, and Dr. Kuhn and Burns, who were urinary specialists, Dr. Bloom, our baby doctor, Dr. Kerr, Dr. Bradburn, Dr. Tyrone, Dr. Lejeune, Dr. Ashna, Dr. Stone, they were all wonderful doctors, the top in New Orleans.
It would be interesting to hear a little more about your experiences in training as a nurse and how you lived in the uniforms and some of the things that have changed so much.
Well, the uniforms have changed, of course, in all these years, but they were furnished by the hospital. They were laundered by the hospital, and we just had to be clean and neat. And I don't remember in those days, there was no air conditioning, but I don't ever remember of really being hot. Maybe because I have a poor memory, I don't. I remember in the nursing home, which was where we lived, was just a block away, right in back of Touro. I remember they had nice sleeping porches, and we had beds on the sleeping porch and beds in our room. We were two people to a room. And I remember all summer sleeping on the sleeping porch. And we did have 12-hour shifts in those days. We worked from 7 to 7. And sometimes we were on night duty, and sometimes we were on day duty.
Oh, well, I wanted to ask you, too. You may not remember being hot, but do you remember any incidents of your patients being very warm? Did you have to?
No, I never remember of them ever complaining that they were hot. And I don't remember what they used as fans in those days.
They must have had electric fans in the
room. They must have had something. I just can't remember that far back. But it was many, many years later that air conditioning came in.
Would you like to tell about the outpatient care for the clinic patients, the ones who were pregnant?
Well, when I graduated Touro, they offered me a job as being head of this department. And the pregnant women would go to the clinic, but when it was time for them to deliver, an intern and myself would go to their home and deliver the babies right in their home. Then a nurse would come with me, or we would go by ourselves, different nurses, and we would follow up their care after they were delivered. And there were many very sweet women. I remember one calling me her white angel. So it was very nice work, and we were very conscientious about it. We took very good care of them. And then, of course, when they were well, then they would go to the well babies clinics, or they would go back to Touro and to make sure they were all right, to be checked.
There was no danger in your going into a black neighborhood or anything like that? You never
Not
felt
at that,
that
time. There was no crime in New Orleans. You never were frightened. If we ran into any trouble in our delivery, we could always get a doctor right away. But we really never did. We had some breech births, but the interns were very good. We never had any trouble, never had any mishap.
You would say that was in the early 30s?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then they either discontinued the program or felt it was important for the mothers to come to the hospital for the...
I don't exactly remember what happened. I know that I stayed there quite a while, and then I don't really remember what happened to the program, but it was a wonderful program. But you never were frightened in those days.
No, that didn't enter into the picture at all.
No.
And I'm sure you were in many homes that were probably very modest and...
Oh, yes, indeed, and we'd go there so early in the morning or late at night and never were frightened.
Times have changed a great deal, haven't they?
They really have.
They really have. Getting back to hospital care, we were talking about surgery, and would you mind saying...
Well, after surgery, years ago in my time, you stayed in bed for so long before they let you sit up on the end of the bed and before they let you try standing up and then taking a few steps. But today, they find that you become so much stronger. You were so weak staying in bed so long. Today, they get you up so much faster.
Mm-hmm. And your recuperative powers are
so
much
greater.
Better. Yes,
that's right. You're not as weak.
That's absolutely true. Helen, I really appreciate your coming today and telling about the Jewish Children's Home and your experiences at Touro. I think the things you've told are of great interest, even though you don't think so, they are. And I really want to thank you on behalf of the Oral History Program.
Well, you're very kind, and I appreciate you calling on me.
Thank you very, very much.